At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Hemp Present. I am Vivian McPeak. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Amy Cox was born in Kettering, Ohio. She pursued her undergraduate education at Miami University and Wright State University, and in 2011 earned a graduate degree from Indiana University East. Her career experience includes working as a science teacher and a scientist, and Amy is a candidate for the United States Congress in Ohio's District 10. And I invited her here to tell us about her candidacy and the issues. Welcome, Amy, to Cannabis Radio.
Yes, thank you for having me, Vivian.
My pleasure. You are running for Congress in the state of Ohio, which has been in the news a lot lately. Your Senator, J.D. Vance, is waging a bizarre campaign against the truth, using racist and xenophobic tropes to scapegoat legal immigrants to score cheap political points. So really, a lot is at stake in this election on a lot of levels. What motivates you to run for office, and why should Ohioans in District 10 give you their vote?
A lot in my life. You know, I've always had to be a fighter. Some of my earliest memories, you know, growing up middle class, my dad was a union teacher in public schools, and my mom was a nurse. And my brother had a childhood cancer. He was 16, and he got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I'm in the fifth grade, right? Fourth, fifth grade. And so some of my earliest memories of what it, you know, what it looks like to have to fight for something, you know, or of my dad, you know, trying to get the insurance to pay the bills. And my mom, you know, to try to convince my brother that, you know, you gotta take this medicine, and, you know, and I know you feel bad right now, but you'll feel better later. So, you know, just
so the voters need to take their medicine.
They need to take their medicine. That's right, and you'll be okay. But just fighting for those things, you know, being young like that, and then I did everything right. You know, I made the good grades. I participated in extracurricular so I could get into a good college. And I went to college, and I graduated in 2001. And that was also when September 11th happened in that year. And I graduated in December. And at that point, the economy had contracted. So these good paying jobs, you know, never really solidified for me. I had a degree in biology. Prior to the economy contracting, pharmaceutical companies were, you know, looking at us and trying to recruit us even as undergrads, you know, call us when you graduate. Now, I dodged a bullet there because what was going on at that time, but I didn't really know at the time, was the opioid epidemic. They were pushing a lot of the opioids at that time. And I think my life turned out completely different as a result of not getting the opportunity to work for a pharmaceutical company. But who knows? Who knows? But anyways, I did some temporary work in food science, and it did some management work at a boutique in a mall. And I worked in nursing homes when I was younger. Subway. I'm a sandwich artist, also prior sandwich artist. Very working class. But my dad, we had a conversation one day, and he says, you know, Amy, you got quite the mouth on you, and you're going to need a union. So why don't you think about going back to school and being a teacher? And I thought, oh, no. You know, he's like, I'll try it. Just go sub for a little bit. So I did. And believe it or not, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being a nerd. I enjoyed having the honesty of the young kids. I taught all high school, and they're a tough crowd, let me tell you. But they're just crusty. You know, if you know how to kind of pick away at that shell that they have, they're awesome little young humans, and they brought a lot of joy to my life while I was in the classroom. But the issues that really negatively affected their lives all came from policy at the state level at the time. And I certainly, once I realized that, obviously became a lot more active politically and in my union, for that matter. So, you know, that's kind of the journey that I got to be political. And, you know, clearly I had to meet the right people that said, hey, you should run. And they helped me get involved with that. And here I am. You know, I started running for office in 2020 after I took a break from teaching in 2018. And I have been running every 2 years since then. And you are correct. This is a very pivotal point in history. And it's the damnedest year to be running for U.S. Congress. But somehow, I always find myself in situations that are not easy, but important. And I am okay with that. You know, somebody's got to do it, you know, and with this thing going on here in Ohio, somebody needs to be the adult in the room, because the guy that I'm running against has been their representative for 2 years when he ended up with this area of the district after the maps were redrawn. And he hasn't really said a thing.
We know. So, Amy, my grandfather was a senior national representative for the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO, the largest government labor.
Yes, very.
I attended labor union meetings, union locals, with him when I was 10 years old. And, you know, unions are finally making a comeback after decades of Republican assault on labor's ability to organize. In your opinion, why are unions critical for the working class to fight back against the corporatist attempts to keep wages low? I mean, what do you think is going on with the rise of unions again?
We need them. So the Gilded Age, first Gilded Age, brought forth the Great Depression. And so here we are again being beat up by reckless management of assets by all sorts of corporate powers. And what's going on is we have a second Gilded Age. You know, we have billionaires. Billionaires are policy failures. And economic
disparity is greatest than it's ever been.
Absolutely it is. And that's how I got started in politics, you know, back in 2020. But now look what's on the ballot. Human rights, women's rights. They're coming after the immigrants with this fascist campaign because they don't have any solutions for this. You know, this is Republican policy for decades on decades against the working class. And I'm not going to say that Democrats are not at all, that don't hold any ownership in it. They absolutely do to some degree. But the Republicans are absolutely have been doubling down on this attack on the working class. They love cheap labor and they love people in desperate situations so that they have to go to work at shitty jobs. And this is what they want. And I'm not here for that. I'm here for working people. In fact, my great granddad was a coal miner in Eastern Kentucky. And he moved his family up here when my grandmother was 13 years old to the Dayton area. And then she married an auto worker that was part of the IUECWA here in Dayton. And then my dad was a union teacher. My first husband, the father of my children, he is a union steel worker. And then my current husband is a union iron worker. Yeah. So I
don't agonize, organize.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, if I got a mouth on me, which is what my superpower is, then I have to use it. And the union, obviously, right now needs some people to get out there and spread the word. So, and here I am trying to be a force for the working class. And I'll probably die on this hill. I don't know if I'll run for office a million times, but I'll certainly die on the hill of the working class.
Well, I commend you for, you know, putting a dog in the race. Maybe that's not the best, but being involved, stepping up, taking on the challenge, right?
Yep.
Because that's what this is like, you know, it's do or die. Democracy is going to die
Absolutely.
If we don't pull this one out of the bag, and they're not going away, you know.
Right.
Project 2025 could be Project, 2029. They're not going away. But we have to go away for a break. So come back, stay with us. Come back in a minute. I'm talking to Amy Cox, Ohio District 10 candidate.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
I'm back with Amy. Amy, cannabis is another politically controversial subject in your state of Ohio and in your district. Why is that? And what's your position on cannabis adult use sales and production?
I've always been very much a pro-cannabis person. I remember as a kid, I'd mentioned that my brother had cancer when I was younger. So he had friends that would help him out and, try to bring him a little joint here and there. But he didn't smoke, so it was really hard for him to try to get any sort of relief from it. And they ended up prescribing him Marinol. I don't know if I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Very familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I do remember the Marinol. They were little orange, like, ball type of...
Little gel caps,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my first exposure to using it medically. And so it was sort of, I guess, my assumption, you see it in TV and in pop culture and whatnot, but my dad was a teacher and he was a goody-goody. And so he didn't really smoke it around me, obviously. And he didn't really smoke until he retired. And then, of course, my mom, she wasn't going to do that. She didn't even smoke. So I was sort of neutral on it until my brother needed it. And then after that, it was just sort of natural for me to be a proponent of it because, when you're sick, it absolutely can make you feel better. And I've known so many people throughout my life that have benefited from it. I have benefited from it. It's interesting. My sisters and I will get together and they'll all talk about the antidepressants and the anxiety medications that they have to take, the older they get. And they look at me and they're like, how come you don't take any? And I said, well, I don't know, but it might have something to do with the fact that I have medically used marijuana since I was about, probably about 30 years old. I used it recreationally prior to that. And then about 30, I used it medically.
It's safer.
Not
toxic. You wake up in the morning, you don't have a hangover. Mm-hmm. Your liver is fine. There's so many reasons why it should be a legal alternative for people that are looking for something that is more manageable than taking pharmaceutical drugs or drinking or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a bartender for quite some time in college because you could make a lot of money doing that. And I saw so much with the alcohol and what that can really do to someone. And and being a teacher, I had a lot of students whose families suffered from alcoholism, and it was just a shame, if you could take all the sin tax that's collected on alcohol and cigarettes and just say this all goes to the kids at school, we could probably do a better job at funding our schools. But every time they give a sin tax to the schools, they deduct it from the state budget at the same time. So that's just my little jab in how we fund schools here in Ohio. I don't think it's fair, but if we are going to tax marijuana, which we are doing here in Ohio, I think it's fair that you give that to the schools instead of cutting their budgets by 7% or more. Yeah.
Let's run some issues quickly. It's the likely, as we established, the most consequential national election last century, maybe ever.
Yes.
Republicans are waging a war on women's rights with, once again, J.D. Vance going as far as promoting the draconian trad-white movement, which seeks to take women out of the working class and set back to a time when women were subservient to their husbands. A woman's the right to choose and even get medical treatment during life-threatening birth.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Complications under attack. An attack that's already resulted in deaths in some states. What's your position on a woman's right to choose, and what do you think we need to do about it?
Well, my opinion is women don't like to be bossed around about anything. They don't like to be told what to wear, what to eat, where to go, and what to do. So I don't know who in that camp came up with the idea, the stupid idea, that women wanted them to tell them what to do with their own bodies. I don't know. They must be on drugs, and not the good kind. They're on the bad stuff. They're on the hard stuff to think that. And it is absolutely a control thing. Let's not forget that first they come for certain people, and then they come for other certain people, and then they come for other certain people. But right now they're going, they figured if we can hit half the population going after women, taking no fault divorce from them, you know, what's next? You're going to take our ability to get credit, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the curve, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of younger people don't realize that a woman can get a credit card until the early 70s.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
They couldn't get a bank loan without their husband signing for it.
Right.
A man signing for it.
That's right. And they did it anyways, Vivian. Let's be honest. Those women
they
worked around. Yeah. I found out the other day my great grandma had her son-in-law sign for her houses and her bank notes and whatnot.
The world that they are pining for, that they mm-hmm. want to take us back to mm-hmm. Project 2025.
Yep.
Which is, you know, 900 pages of fascism, really.
Absolutely.
Control and completely destroying and undermining democracy itself. Yeah. I mean, it's that they're saying that, you know, the thing that changed with Trump, I think, they're saying the quiet parts out loud. In fact, they're screaming it from the rooftops.
Yes.
You know? And
yes, they are. It's terrifying. I feel like I am in a Stephen King novel, and I have said this since day one with Donald Trump. And I like Stephen King. It scared the crap out of me as a kid.
I can't.
But I
think
don't
about
like
the reality
like this.
Right. I can't even dwell on the reality that.
That's right.
In January, Trump could be president again, and look out, because he learned all of his mistakes at being a dictator the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to replace 20,000 federal employees with Trump lackeys. I mean, that is literally the definition of fascism.
Yes. No, he absolutely is. And it's terrifying to see how many people don't see that. But then as a teacher,
so many people. Yes. Yeah.
Because,
go ahead.
Well, and this is, you know, when you teach, you see what the general population does. And I will tell you, now I taught science. So I couldn't tell you about the other classes, you know, the civics classes and the world history classes. But when I was in school, the Holocaust was taught cross-curriculum. So it was brought up throughout anything that we, you know, we might have read a book on it in English class. And then we studied it, obviously, in history class. And then we'll tie it in science class. Like, you couldn't ignore the fact that the Holocaust was a thing and how it happened. So the fact that people don't see it and they just sort of laugh it off, like, what do you mean we're... What do you mean Trump's being a fascist? I'm like, but don't you remember how
they don't
did
really
this?
Know what a fascist
don't
is.
You remember? That's what I'm saying. They don't know what it is. They weren't listening either. Or either they weren't listening back then when they were in school, or they
the
are just do, blind.
The people yeah. that do go, oh, he's just saying that. That's well, Trump, right? He won't do that, right? Which is exactly what people
that's
said.
That's foolish.
Mussolini and the rest
exactly
of them.
Right. Yes.
We only have 2 minutes before the next break. As of July, the Biden economy has added 15.7 million American jobs, 6.3 million jobs more than before the pandemic. You have said that we need to, quote, unrig the economy. What did you mean by that?
Well, it needs to work for working people. The economy obviously is working really well for corporations and billionaires, but it's not exactly working well for working people. And I'm talking about folks that are doing customer service jobs. You know, we are in a service type of economy. I remember being warned about this, not warned, but taught about this in economics in college. And I thought, what does that even look like? You know, like serving tables, waiting tables, being a server, you know? And now I realize what it is, very much customer service oriented, you know, technology. But But here's the thing. Just because these aren't manual jobs and just because these aren't traditionally union jobs, that does not mean that we shouldn't make it easier for people to organize and form unions and collectively bargain for those things that build and did build a strong middle class in the past. And we don't have that right now. We're getting better at it. But when you consider who Trump put in charge of the Labor Relations Board, a union buster, and all his buddies, you know, we have a lot of ground to make up because of what he did. And then let's not even talk about courts and what that means for us moving ahead.
You know, I think the whole culture war is a class war in disguise.
And yes, it
all
is.
All of this smoke and mirrors is because they want to keep regulations low,
yep,
taxes low, mm-hmm, and wages low, right?
Well, our taxes aren't low. Their taxes are low.
That's what I mean. Yes, yep, yes. I'm
absolutely
sorry. Taxes. We have to go to a break, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Time to roll out for the people that let us present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with Amy Cox running for Ohio District 10 Congress. Amy, you know, we've talked about a lot of things, a lot of issues so far, and social and political issues come and go. And historically, each new generation's had a chance to correct the crimes and mistakes of the previous generations of leadership. But that opportunity is gone with climate change. There's just no second chance. You were a scientist and a science teacher. Can you share with us your science background and what your platform position is on climate change and the environment and why it's important?
So my background is biology, and biologists tend to look at everything, you know, as a whole and how life exists on the rocky planet that we are and within the world of chemistry and physics. So it goes deep, and it is something that can get me really anxious if I let it get a hold of me. I have seen and watched, you know, the drought out west, the fact that they're running out of water, and then the fires are out of control. I remember people moving out there when I had gotten out of college and thinking, you know, I really want to go out there. It sounds great. But then I thought, but they're going to run out of water. You know, this isn't sustainable. But, you know, people weren't actually, other people weren't necessarily paying attention to what we were as biology students and scientists at the time. It is demoralizing that very little has been done as far as the environment goes.
And we've known about this
and
many decades.
Oh my gosh, we've known about this. And the thing is that it is the issue, Vivian. It is
no other
the
issue.
Number one issue. There is no other issue except the environment, because everything else doesn't matter. And
right,
people don't understand the economic implications of ignoring climate change and not investing in sustainability,
food production,
everything.
The most
everything.
Devastating thing of
people's ability to get insurance.
Migration is like
migration
in the history of human,
yes,
of the human race.
Absolutely.
You know, drinkable water.
No, it's horror. It's modern day horror. This is what I pay attention to,
yes,
when I want to be scared.
It's a hellscape, right?
Yes, it is.
It's a real dystopian hellscape.
Yes, it is. But you can't start off talking to groups and crowds of people with that, because they cannot imagine what their life looks like 20 years ahead. If you showed them a picture of an age progression, they can't say hi to that person and relate to it, just like you can't relate to your hellscape backyard if there was a fire. You can't see that. And if someone come out and started talking about that right away on a campaign trail, you would immediately say, cuckoo, I can't do this. No, she's scaring me. Boo. No. But as a scientist, as a teacher, it is the only issue at this point in time. And it is, and because I run for young people and the dignity of everyone else that has survived on this planet, I absolutely have to take climate change and anything that we decide what that looks like moving forward. So any type of legislation that would come across my desk, or someone would not come across my desk, like I'm the president. But anytime I would be asked to sign legislation or vote for legislation, I would absolutely have to ask myself first, what's this look like for the planet? And what does this look like for working people, real human beings, keeping this country rolling right now?
Yes. It should be on the news every single day. It should,
yes,
be the headline in the newspaper. We're talking about the survival of humanity. And we're like sleepwalking through this, that the end times.
But it is.
We need to get on it. We need to get on it.
Absolutely. But it is, Vivian, it's on TV. People don't see it, though. It is drought conditions. They don't see the lip because these things happen. These things happen so slow unless it's like a storm or
media is
like that.
Afraid to connect it to climate change because then they'll lose their petrochemical sponsors, right? Mm-hmm. Or the presidents because mm-hmm. they're making millions, billions, trillions of dollars right now. They can end the world later, but I'm making money right now, right?
Yeah. But think about the age of the people making the decisions right now, Vivian. Think about the average age of the folks making the decisions and looking at legislation and not asking, it sure is getting hot. Every single year it's
gone.
Hotter and hotter.
They won't be alive.
Right. Exactly. And they don't have young kids. You know, I had kids and I'm like, okay, so you're going to just trash the planet. And I put all this investment in having children and you're going to trash the planet. No, I take that personal. And so does every other parent out there.
Our grandchildren and their grandchildren.
Exactly.
It'll
future.
It boggles my mind that anybody but a sociopath.
It is sociopathic.
Or somebody drinking the Kool-Aid, the corporate Kool-Aid, or climate change, it's a liberal, it's woke.
No.
Right?
No, it's reality.
It's sanity.
Yeah. Climate change doesn't give a crap what your opinion is on climate change. It's going to get hot whether you believe in climate change or not. And the heat is what will kill people first. Power surges because it can't handle it. And these are the minutia. That's right.
Right.
This is the flooding, flash flooding. This is the minutia, not having access to fresh foods. You know, people have got to definitely wake up to the fact that we cannot elect people that don't have skin in the game. We can't do it anymore.
We're run out of time. My skin in the game today is getting thin. Very quickly, we have literally like a minute. What final thoughts would you like to leave us with? How can people follow your campaign?
Oh, please go to voteamycox.com. There you'll find all kinds of information on me. And we update that periodically for the issues as we get our information together. But you can also, you can visit any of the social media platforms, Facebook, X, and what's the other one? Instagram. I always forget about Instagram. Yeah, so Instagram. And it is also Vote Amy Cox on all of those. And if you want a loud working class, ain't going to take nothing from the powers that be, asking good questions, scientist, mom, teacher, check me out. Throw me a donation. We don't win these on nothing. And I appreciate your time and very much all the cannabis people out there that have helped push this to legalization at this point in time. And we have been part of that fight, and I'll continue to be part of that fight with you all as well.
All right. Amy Cox, running for Ohio's District 10, running for Congress. Thank you so much for being on the show, and good luck on your campaign.
Thank you.
The Hemp Present intro music, 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand. The outro music's Take Back the Plant by Stickerbush. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice. Find your voice and speak up for justice because resistance is fertile. I've said that before. Stay strong. Marijuana!
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.